Okay. We've been going through a series on the book of Philippians, and when we did in the first chapter, we reviewed that chapter was all about that we are to live for Christ. And in the second chapter, we went through what it means to have the mind of Christ and to live with the mind of Christ, the gospel, or live as the gospel directs us. And in the third chapter, we were reminded that our citizenship is not of this world, right, Ivor? And that we are citizens of heaven, and that we will be transformed and to be with Christ. In chapter four, I'd like you to read with me the first few verses 6 to 11. And if you would like, you can find those in your red Bible on page 1830. We read this actually at the Manoir on Thursday. I won't go through the whole reading as we did it there, because there is a lot more to this chapter. But it starts off and it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So God is actually telling us, or Paul is telling us here, that regardless of what we encounter in life, we can bring it to Christ, and as long as we do it with thanksgiving, thanking Christ for what he has done for us, and that we bring our petitions, our challenges, our worries, our burdens, every situation, it says, by the way, it doesn't say something specific, it says every situation, and every situation for people in this room can be different. But with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we can present our request to God. And he says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on. It's sort of interesting. Why would he start now, sort of break the subject matter? And he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." This is a formula that God is giving us. The formula is this: if you're going to be anxious, if your mind is going to be filled with your problems and challenges, if your mind is filled with negative thoughts, apart from prayer, he's saying, change your mind. Think differently. Instead of thinking about your worries and your anxieties and your stresses and all the things that are bothering you, he's saying, oh, put those aside and instead think on things that are true. What's true? God's word's true. Think on things that are noble. What's noble? Jesus Christ is noble. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, God's creation. Think about, you're confronted with some worry that you can do nothing about, because the Bible says you can't even make yourself grow an extra inch out of worry. So instead of that, think on something that is lovely. Think on God's creation. How beautiful, how magnificent, how intricate it really is. Think on something that is admirable. What's the most admirable thing that you can think about? Being admirable means somebody made or did some tremendous event or some amazing deed, something that was admirable. What's the most admirable thing that you can think of? How about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his resurrection? So he's saying, yeah, you've got anxiety. Give the anxiety to me, but now change your mind and think on these other things. Because that's how you get past worry and anxiety. And then he keeps on going, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Whatever you see, how Jesus treated things, how he did things with compassion and mercy and grace and compassion and love. He says, put that into practice and the God of peace will be with you. thanks for their gifts. That's the title of this next section in the Bible, where Paul is thanking the Philippians for the things that they gave to him so that he could continue his ministry around the world. And he goes on, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content with whatever my circumstances. So I'm content with life as God has given it to me. So then he goes on, and this is the part that is the real essence of this chapter. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. And then he says at the end here, he says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. In the Phillips translation of the Bible, it says, I'm ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. I'm ready to handle whatever is thrown at me in life because of the strength of Christ in me. Paul, he's saying, I can meet all my needs and goals with Christ, no matter what trials, what challenges, or hardships I'm confronted by. It applies to us. We can meet all our needs with faith in Jesus Christ. We have all the power that we need to meet the demands of life, no matter how challenging. It takes faith. But if Christ is in you, you can say, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Anybody here been watching the Olympics? Yeah? That's pretty good, right? There are a lot of athletes in the Olympics who need a lot of strength to compete and to win. It's interesting. I started to look up and find, are there any Olympic athletes who are Christians? And there are many. I'm going to give you a few examples. Please bear with me. But the first one I came across was a lady by the name of Simone Manuel. She's a swimmer. And she's in her third Olympics. She's won 2 gold medals, 2 silver, and 1 bronze. She has 16 medals on the world championship level. Her official Team USA bio says she enjoys listening to upbeat music when working out, and gospel music always motivates her. And then she writes in her bio, her Instagram bio lists Philippians 4:13. This exact verse. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And then she goes on, says, to God be the glory, she wrote in her Facebook after she qualified for this year's Olympic team. I've been asked the question of retirement many times because she had an injury just after the Tokyo Olympics. She never thought she could swim again. But she says, quitting was never an option. The flame was still burning. She says, it all started with a call to be obedient and faithful to God's calling and purpose for my life. Believing in the fact that God, he is in control, and he always has much bigger plans for our lives than we can imagine. That's an Olympic athlete, Simone Manuel. There's a wrestler. His name is Aaron Brooks. Aaron Brooks is competing this year for his first Olympic And I don't know how he's done it. Should probably go and check and see. Anyway, he won a silver at the 2018 Junior World Champions, and he won a gold in the 2017 Cadet World Championships. And in his Instagram bio, he writes, "Jesus is King." And he made the headlines for this. I guess it was well published after he won a title at Penn State in the NCAA Championships. And here's what he wrote. He says, "Christ's resurrection is everything. Not just his life, but his death and resurrection." And he goes on to say, he says, "You can only get that through him, the Holy Spirit, only through him. You can only get the Holy Spirit through him. No, not through false prophets, not through Muhammad, not through anyone else, only Jesus Christ himself." Amazing, right? And this man is a witness, is a testimony to all those who participate around him. I won't go through all of them, but there's Anna Hall from track and field, Allison Gibson, diving, Kelly Cheng, beach volleyball, Brody Malone, gymnastics, Caleb Dressel, swimming, Micah Christensen, volleyball, Hunter Armstrong, swimming. These are all Christians who are all participating in the Olympics this year. And what an amazing event. But there's one here that I found interesting. And she actually has a podcast and a web page. She's gone through many trials. And her name is Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone. And she is in track and field. And she runs the 400-meter hurdles. And she actually had also thought she was not going to be able to participate because she had a very serious knee injury. But she's also the Olympic world record holder for the 400-meter hurdles. And she writes this, "Just because I may not win every race or receive every one of my heart's desires does not mean that God had failed. His will is perfect. And he has prepared for me a moment such as this that I may use the gifts he has given me to point all the attention back to him." Isn't that amazing? She says, "I've got this gift. I win the 400 meters. I set the world record, but I give the glory to God. Not because I worked out day in, day out, and so on." And that's the thing that we can do with our own lives. We are all given gifts, but we're to use them for God's glory, not for our pride and profit. And then she says, "And I think now I can show up to the track every day and understand that this is a gift he's given me, that whether we win, lose, or draw, it's an opportunity to glorify him, and my value is already secured in Christ Jesus. So there's no fear of not being enough, and that everything that I need is found in him." She says, "Records come and go. The glory of God is eternal." We're in a race too, you know. We are in a race. We're in a very important race. Because there is a crown waiting for us, just like there were medals waiting for those who participate in the Olympics. In 2 Timothy. And this is Paul expressing to Timothy as he's ending or coming close to the end of his life. He says, "For I'm already poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing." All of us who long for the return and appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to relate this to another Olympic athlete from years ago who you may remember his name, very famous. In the 1936 Olympics, Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens was a runner. And he was in the Olympics in front of Adolf Hitler. And of course, Adolf Hitler was, he wanted to develop an Aryan nation of white people. People who were to dominate the race, as he called them. But Jesse Owens was black. And when Jesse Owens made his final jump in full of Hitler, he discredited Hitler's theory. Because at the Berlin Games in 1936, Jesse Owens won 4 gold medals in track and field. In the 100 meter, 200 meter, the meter relay race, and the long jump. Right in front of, under Hitler's nose. That must have been a little embarrassing to him. Dr. Kevin Jones wrote a book about Jesse Owens. And he said, "We see that Jesse ran races for crowns that are perishable. But we see in the time, effort, and energy and dedication he put into this sport is an image of the Christian walk in life." What he's saying is, it does take, as a Christian, dedication, time, energy, and effort to walk and follow Jesus Christ. And he goes on and he writes, "As Christians, we don't run for a perishable crown. We run for an imperishable one." And just as it is said in 2 Timothy. So how are we to run the race that is set before us? Can we use some of the same principles as those of those Christian athletes that I've just referred to in our race, in our running? Now, I've got 3 things to consider. The first one is practice. What is our practice? What is our way of life? How do we conduct our days? A few years ago, I think two and a half years ago or so, I referred in a message about a man by the name of Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell was in the 1924 Paris Olympics. And of course, if you've watched the movie Chariots of Fire, that's all about Eric Liddell. His story, if you'll just bear with me, he may be the best historic mentor and Christian sports star of the past century. He's written a book called The Disciplines of the Christian Life, and I'm going through that. It's a daily devotion, and he leads you through amazing scriptures and leads you through it over a year period. And I've taken actually some of his quotes from that book, and there is a brochure at the back of the table, and it's called Eric Liddell, The Disciplines of the Christian Life. There's about 3 pages of quotes that you may find encouraging and supportive. And anyway, it says, "He may be the best historic mentor in Christian sports of the past century. At the British Olympic trials in July of 1923, he set a new long-standing record for the 100-yard race at 9.7 seconds. He won the 220-yard race at 21 seconds. A week later, he won a quarter mile, but he was knocked down at the beginning of the race and ended up 30 yards, where he was 30 yards behind the other athletes, and he still came forward and ran and won. But his convictions of a Christian were tested in 1924 at the Paris Olympics." Interesting, Paris, 1924, when the 100-meter qualifying round was scheduled for a Sunday. And he said, "No, that's the Lord's day. I never run on Sundays." And he held his ground and he chose to honor God and over the race. After that Sunday, Liddell ran in the 400-meter race, placed in the worst lane, running against the American record holder, but Liddell nonetheless crossed the finish line in an incredible 47 seconds and won the gold. Why do I read all this? Because one of his quotes is, You will know as much of God and only as much of God as you're willing to put into practice. Eric Liddell actually ended up being in the ministry and in an internment camp as a missionary in Japan, and unfortunately he died there. If you want to look into his life, it's absolutely astonishing what this man did and has done and has left us as an example. He says, if you're going to put it into practice, be in God's word and be in God's deed. He says, if you're not guided by God, you're going to be guided by someone or something else. The Christian who hasn't the sense of guidance in his life is missing something vital. That means you surrender to God and let God do the guiding. Otherwise, somebody else is going to do it for you. In Galatians 5, verses 7 to 8, and this is a warning that Paul read to the Galatians. And then it says, you were running a good race. He was telling the Galatians, you were running a great race. Who cut in on you? Right? I don't know if you've ever done track and field, but it happened, you know. People, who cut in on you, he says, to keep you from obeying the truth? In our Christian life, who are you letting cut in on you, okay, and taking you away from the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. That's coming from evil, letting someone cut in on the truth. What a great analogy. And what was happening at the Galatians at this time was that there were Jews coming into the church trying to cut in and say to people, you have to be a Jew before you can become a Christian. You have to be circumcised before you can become a Jew, and you have to be a Jew before you can become a Christian. They were cutting in on the truth. They were cutting in on that. It was Christians. Truth about they knew the gospel. Paul warned them, don't let that happen. So practice. Don't let anybody cut in. Second one is prayer. So practice. Second one is prayer. Let's go right back to Philippians. Right back to verse 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If you need this strength, if you need the strength that you make to meet the challenges of everyday life, whether you're an Olympian or not, prayer is the answer. Go, it says, don't be anxious. Just bring it in prayer and petition. So we've got practice and prayer. The third one is perseverance. Perseverance through the hard times. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We've got to stick to it. We have to persevere. We're told this is going to happen in James. In the book of James, chapter 1, he says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It's sort of a cyclical thing. The more you persevere, the more you need faith. The more faith you have, the more you can persevere as you go through difficult times and challenges. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. We will be tested. We will need to persevere. But by grace, Thanks to God, we've been given faith. We're given strength. In Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace. In Psalm 46, I didn't put it down, but in Psalm 46, it talks about having strength, that God, in the first verse, is our refuge and our strength. So the book of Philippians ends. He ends in saying, I can do all this. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Jesus Christ. Live for Christ. Have the mind of Christ. Be known as a citizen of his kingdom. And use the strength that he gives us to meet the challenges of our day-to-day lives. You know, the Olympics are a great analogy and a great example, I know. And the quotes that these Olympians have given us are very encouraging and uplifting. But it really boils down to our own practice, prayer, and perseverance. And then you can say, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Great God, our Father in heaven, we live in a very challenging world. We are confronted daily with negative news around us, although us in this congregation are blessed with the abundance. We don't see the violence and the abuse and the injustice and the suffering that many others around this world endure on a daily basis. We're not persecuted, at least not yet. We're not in prison because we own a Bible. We're not tortured because of what we believe. But we know that you give us all strength no matter what we are to encounter, no matter what challenges are ahead of us. Let us heed these words of Paul to put you, Lord Jesus, first in our lives, and that we have with confidence and assurance, knowing that the strength that we need to persevere comes from you, and it all that we need comes from you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for our calling. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the strength that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay.